Remember, I think the time is now that we should start with the meeting. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all of you and do a good morning to everybody. The agenda is to be dominated by one item. Beyond minutes, and I'm wondering how do we move forward, because it's like Gary Roda, the legal advisor, has something also to brief us about, and anyhow, he will join us in in between. We have also received the input from the portfolio committee on public service and administration. I'm not sure whether you have submitted that to all of them. I'm not sure. But if you can make copies for that. Yes. So you'll have the copies of the input from the portfolio committee, which will also assist us in making input. We have also received a legislative proposal from Sholip, Honorable Sholip, DA parliamentary leader, which would seek to propose the amendment of the Members Ethics Act, Act 82 of 1998. We will also determine the processes followed to deal with it. However, maybe I should say upfront that the amendment proposed by Honorable Sholim, they are not that very far from the one that we received, but the other one was dealing with the general amendment of the whole act. He has just picked, you know, some elements that he wanted us to consider to do that. I'm saying it because you may recall that our decision was solely pinned on the Minister of Justice processes that they were, you know, undergoing in amending the Members' Ethics Act. But nonetheless, I may not preempt what to do, but we will follow the necessary route taking forward this particular proposal. We are running short of one member to have a quorum, but I've been told that the whip is on the way. She will join us, I'm sure, in a minute or so. For time being, we will then proceed with the agenda as it is and see how far will be able to go, and also hoping that Gary will join us soon. Thank you. You are all welcome. Apologies.
Good morning, Honorable Members. We've got three apologies from Honorable Pretoria, Honorable Kopane, and Honorable Tulisa Muswane. Thank you.
Thank you. These are the apologies that we have received. Thank you, Honorable Witt, for coming in the right time when we were about to start with the real business. Can we then move to item 3 of the agenda? deliberation on the legislative proposal to prohibit contracting between an organ of state in the national sphere of government and companies whose directors are party political office bearers of public representatives of political parties. This proposal has been sent to us from Honorable Davidson. You may recall that we had him within our committee. He briefed us about his understanding, and we agreed that we will look at this thing moving forward. May I invite comments on the proposed legislation by Honorable Davidson? Anyone want to kickstart? Honorable Killian.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I unfortunately on occasion did not participate in all the committee deliberations. However, as far as this specific legislative proposal is concerned, I think I was actually trying to follow it very minutely. I also joined in the joint meeting with the Public Service Committee. But I just wanted to have clarity, because from my understanding, there are two different proposals from Honorable Davidson. The one was dealing with officials, and the other one was dealing really with party political office bearers and politicians. Now, when we are dealing with this matter now, before, am I sure that we are going to deal with this as the party political office bearers and public representatives only? Just wanted to have clarity. When we engaged with the minister, it was clear that he was bringing some amendments and that there was a ethics framework that he also decided to. Now, how does that impact on the political side? When we deliberated on this matter before, I think some of the members who were here before, I reminded members of countries where they have introduced ethical codes for public politicians, public office bearers, for politicians. That was done, for instance, in Australia, as well as in the United Kingdom. And at that stage, I thought it would actually benefit us to have an indication, because if I understand Honorable Davidson's proposal, he had a good idea, but the way that it was tabled just raised very many questions. Is it a separate bill? Is it something that must become part of a national sort of ethical framework and legislation, etc. Chair, and I just wanted to raise my concern. There's a lot of work that has gone into the research document that is tabled before the committee, and I really want to commend the committee research for this. However, I want to just raise my concerns with regards to the detail. I don't think we, as a committee, should get involved in the details of a presentation and a legislative proposal. And quite a lot is contained in here that raised some questions in my mind. For instance, page 3, particulars of the proposed legislation. I do not understand that is the role of this committee. The role of this committee is merely to see what is it that is available, and then to go through our checklist to say there are 6 criteria that we should assess the proposal. It's on page 11. Those are the 6 criteria. And on the basis of that, do we now say we just move this on to another committee to say, sorry, we've done our sort of initial investigation into the desirability, 1, 2, the current legislative framework, and we believe there are loopholes, and now it must go, it must move on, be it to the Justice Committee, to a whatever committee, which is going to deal with the ethics of politicians. I think by doing that, we are demonstrating as a committee that we identify the need for legislative clarity about when can you contract with the state. I have indicated previously that, for instance, they've introduced, in many countries, they've introduced periods of 6 months cooling off of politicians. Otherwise, you could effectively be involved in setting up a grand scheme such as Gautrain, and then the minute that after it's launched, you can move out and become a consultant in that consortium or whatever. So I think we need to have some guidance there. And so the principle of Honourable Davidson's proposal, I support. The detail of how to do it, I'm not very well informed. But I want to raise my concern with regards to us thinking that we're going into too much detail, to also say that he admitted this on page 5. It says Honourable Davidson also admitted that the proposed section 1D will also have to be revised, etc., etc. As far as I can recall that interaction with him, he said, I don't want to go to argue about 2% or 10% or 20%. I want to argue the principle that there must be limitations for politicians to conduct business with the state. And I think that is what he made very clear. That's why I think our role is not to go into the detail. Our role is to say what is there, and that brings me just to the last point, and that is how do we incorporate our meeting with the minister that is actually, it was focused on public administration and public service. How do we bring that into our research documents on this specific proposal? I think we must be very mindful that we don't mix politicians and public service administration. That is a separate issue. And it is good and well that the minister is introducing further measures, concerned it obviously, as it's also listed here, the public entities, and that is where a lot of shenanigans is also taking place. But I think we must be very mindful, and I do propose that we cannot proceed with the document as is. We should actually have it revised if there is support for some of the comments that I've made. Thank you, Chairman.
Further input? Maybe just also to clarify something here. I think the research document, it meant an intent to assist the internal part of the committee. Our determination will take very little from there. When they assist us, they unearth, they tell us everything that they thought will make us to take a decision. It's not necessarily that they're coining it in the manner that will write a report. The report will not be like that. So they are helping us to have a clear understanding. That is why they're speaking about every element. Am I right? Further input? Honourable Van Beek.
Just to concur with what you're saying, I think we must be very careful to confuse a research report with a committee report. And I think the report itself is very, very helpful for us in broadening our own thinking about the issue as well. And want to thank the researcher for that. The Honourable Killian is correct in terms of us applying the criteria. And I mean, I think we have done it to some extent already, and that is where we need to take the process now forward, knowing that public service and administration is coming with legislation. And I've read through this response that they sent you as well, where they said at that point in time they would like to re-engage with us. I don't think the engagement should necessarily be with us at that stage. It should rather be with Mr. Davidson, the Honourable Davidson, than with this committee. I mean, it's not our proposal. If they want input in terms of what that legislation is, and that's the right of any of our MPs in any case, is to engage with the committee with a bit of legislation. But the fact of the matter is there is legislation on its way. And we need to take our decision, and that's one of the six criteria, is based on that. There's legislation on the way. The time issue becomes an issue again, how long it's going to take, but based on that, you can't really say to the committee, to the Public Service Administration Committee, to go ahead with this.
What I was discussing with the researcher earlier is this thing of leaders of political parties who are not necessarily public representatives. Mm. I went to an extent of giving an example with AZAPO to say only the president of AZAPO is a member of parliament and then PAC equally. Then the rest of the political party office bearers are not public office bearers. How do we then manage the, because I'm sure I would imagine sitting where I am, the revenue generated by a political party which has got one member, for them to make their political office bearers to survive, is very minimal. Then how do we then balance this proposal with that? Honorable Kubai.
Chair, I was a bit confused and I took some time to recover because I was trying to follow where are we in terms of our deliberations. And following our last meeting. Hence, I was like, and I thought, maybe it's because maybe I arrived late. What is it that we're dealing with in front of us? Because there was some extent of deliberations that we had, and there was an input by Honorable Victorious from TA, which one we needed to reflect upon. We promised to either reflect upon based on the inputs that he wanted to suggest. I'm late.
Yeah, no. It's not that you are late. They are very close to each other.
Yeah.
This one is basically about
political
parties, office bearers. While the one that he made an input that we are having is the one related to public servants doing the contract with them.
I think you confused me. that's what I'm saying, Chair. I got confused because I listened to Honorable Killian and I'm like, okay, which one? Because she referred to the meeting we had with the minister because the minister made an input on the public service report, not on this one. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got confused. That's why I thought, let me just take a step back and understand this. Okay. On this one, Chair, because I'm clear on this one. Can I make my no, on the clarity, because I had that one, and I thought when we agenda on that particular one, it was on a different platform, and I thought Honorable Killian was still taking us way back from where we last deliberated. So I was trying to bring the committee to where we last stopped. But on this one, Chair, I think what we'd need in terms of this one is that, as you were saying, the issues here becomes difficult. Even if you are not in ASAP, you are in ANC, which is the ruling party, and you are an office bearer, but you are not a public representative. Mm-hmm. How do you stop me from doing business with government? Because it's my constitutional right that I'm not directly involved with the government or any agency. I just stand as a member of the ANC, for example, into an office, either in a region and so. To what extent are you able to stop, you know, those things? Constitutionality, that's what I'm worried about more than anything. Because otherwise you might end up prohibiting people from participating in political activities indirectly. Consequence, it might say to me, because I want to be a businessman or a businesswoman, therefore it means because there's this legislation that stops me from doing business, I'd rather not participate. So indirectly you're pushing people to decide not to participate in political parties. Is that what you want to do? Because certain things might have consequences. And I think that we've got to think thoroughly. Where I would like to know, you can help us if you've done that analysis. I've not looked at that one. Your report in terms of this document is that constitutionality of this proposal, more than anything, that's what I'm worried about.
Kelly, your phone, Honorable Kelly.
Jefferson, sorry.
Let him speak, then you'll come.
Good morning, members, and good morning, Chair. The main difference between the two proposals is the one that, that focuses on the state employees, and the one that is being discussed now is focuses on public officials, public representatives. So that's the main difference between the two, first of all. In terms of the one that's before the committee now at this moment, I don't see any real constitutional problems with it. It might have practical implications. That's what my concern is, that it's good and well to have those mechanisms in place for good governance, but when you come to electoral system like ours, where it's proportional, and those implications, then practically there's going to be problems, because there's some parties that have one or two members, and then it really blocks them from being able to do business, because as we know, a member of parliament's life isn't ad infinitum. It's going to end eventually some other time. So the practical implications of this is worrying, and I think that's one of the considerations that the committee needs to take into account.
Chairperson, I think part of the problem is exactly because the research document spoke of, on page 6, our deliberations on the Public Services Act, and that's why I said, actually, if we look at the heading of the document, it relates to the issue of political office bearers. And that's why I said we must not confuse the two. And I don't think it is appropriate for us to bring the deliberations on this section in here, because it's two separate issues. So if I confuse the members, I apologize. But I actually argued that maybe that could have confused all of us. I fully concur with what Gary has said to us now. I think the issue is, if we know that there's no constitutional blockage, we could say, because that is why I kept on coming back to this whole notion of, doesn't it belong somewhere else? For instance, does it not belong with the ethic component? Does it not belong with the Public Ethics Act? You know, because ultimately, what is it that we want to avoid? We want to avoid people in decision-making positions to take decisions which will benefit themselves. That is essentially what it is. That is what Honourable Davidson, if I understand me correctly, I don't agree with some of the proposals he made in the legislative proposal, but I don't think that is our role. Our role is to say, is this desirable? It's going to be impractical. So his proposals, to a large extent, there will probably be one element that could be imported into the Executive Members Act. But as far as the rest is concerned, because I fully concur with the chairperson and some of the other members who said, you have a multi-party system such as we have, you cannot have a blanket approach to party political office bearers. Because if you don't have say in governance, what influence can you exercise? You can't. To some extent, I think resolution should probably be of this committee to say, in principle, it's a good idea to improve good governance principles in the country, but the details of the proposal would be impractical. And perhaps we should not guillotine it now, but we should say,
Should we not consider it if Honourable Trollope has introduced some proposed amendment to the Executive Ethics Act? Should we not see if some of the essential components that was the thought process of this legislative proposal could actually be incorporated there, and then we say we deal with the matters jointly and we refer it then to the relevant committee for further consideration. So my proposal would be that we do not guillotine it now, Chairperson, but that we say we understand that there are impracticalities and that, but I just wanted to alert committee members that I don't want us to go into too much detail. It is the principle of the proposals that we should evaluate and we should effectively evaluate it in accordance with the six criteria to say if it is not unconstitutional. If it's, you see, and somebody's confused me a little. If I understand that that Minister Baloyi informed us about the framework, it relates to the public service. As far as I understand,
yeah.
It doesn't relate to political office bearers. That's why I want to move this onto the Executive Members Ethics Act, because this is in the political sphere, not in the public service sphere. Thank you,
sir. Maybe just to assist members here, if you look at the research document page 6 that you have referred to, it speaks about the joint meeting of the 8th of June, not the one, the recent we held with the public admin. Therefore, I'm sure we should not confuse ourselves, you know, too much. Let's be confused, but let it be minimal, this confusion. and I wanted us to look at identifying the, I'm not sure whether it's an entity or institution within governance structures which is responsible for this, you know, particular issue that we are talking about. Because it will not be correct to say public service is, you know, responsible for this area. It might go towards, you know, justice and constitutional development. It might go to the presidency. Let's get and move towards referring this to them to say advice. What is the situation? Where are we? So that we move in line with those who are responsible to look after this area. Honourable Kubai.
Thanks. I think one of the things that we must look at. I just went to. If you look at our agenda, but if you look then the heading, but you look at what is the name of this. It says a legislative proposal aimed at prohibiting party political office bearers, public representatives, and as well as political parties from. So, if you look at it, Chair, we've got ethics that deals with public representatives and your executive ethics. Where do you refer for political parties? And I think what Honourable Killian was saying, you see, the difficulty, Chair, is that if you are to, hence I said, and I still hold the view that I think there's an issue constitutionally for me. Because if you are to say a person who, as Honourable Killian was saying, does not even have an influence, but the fact that you are sitting in some regional structure of a party, that does not even have an influence. You are not even a ruling party, you are just an opposition party. You don't even have a seat. Because it says public political office bearers. You don't even have a seat either in a municipality, in government, and therefore you are prohibited. It's a party, Chair. It's recognized. Or let's say it's standing, it's got a, like Operation Kanisa in Johannesburg. They've got 5 members in council. They don't operate anywhere else. And you're saying they can't do business. Anyone who holds an office in that organization, their nation, if they have a regional, they've got a provincial structure. And anyone who holds an office in that political party can have the practicality What is it that you want to achieve? I mean, the other issue, we can't develop legislation, Chair, for the sake of developing legislation, quite honestly. Legislation is to be implemented. And if you can see from where you are sitting, this, you know, even if you can come which angle, just on a face value, it's going to be costly, or it's going to be a legislation that is passed by Parliament and is sitting somewhere gathering dust. Then we'll be accused as well to think Parliament does not take itself serious or government does not take itself serious. I would think that if we are to look at issues of public representatives, then ethics would be, because we've got ethics committee that looks at all of us, including even ministers, because the ethics committee that is chaired by Honourable Turok looks even at the conduct of ministers, because they are members of Parliament. So it covers everybody, Chair. But in the current format, if for me, I would say we are referring this to that committee, if it did not have the part of political party, then it should have been ill. What makes it difficult for me to say we are referring to the, I don't know what we'll expect the ethics committee to do with that part of political party. That's where my problem is.
Maybe let's try to narrow it towards, you know, concluding it for today. Whatever we wanted to, it's like we are sitting in this, you know, platform. We seem not to move towards saying at least we trim down to this condition. Honourable Kellyanne.
Okay, I must say I do not have the copy of the original legislative proposal, but my understanding was that it actually relates to contracting between an organ of state in the national sphere of government whose directors are party political office bearers or public representatives of political parties. So in other words, it relates to the any national organ of state and office bearers of political parties. It doesn't really speak to political parties as such. It speaks to the political office bearers. And we acknowledge the weakness within that, that some of the, you know, office bearers really have minimal influence. But I'm just saying, I don't think we should now bring in the issue of political parties. Yes, it could have an impact if it would be passed as such. I do concur with Honourable Kubai that it could have a limitation of the right to exercise your political rights. It could have that impact. But that's why I thought it would be more appropriate for us to say that actually it relates to sitting politicians who would have an inside trading opportunity. And I think that is what we should support, to say that we can no longer have that. Because this is essentially what I think he tried to do, but in a sort of a clumsy way, if I may say so. It is a little clumsy as it is, but the principle is not a bad principle, but it should be refined. But I don't think it's our role to refine it. I think we should look at the Ethics Act.
Honourable Van Wyk, and you will follow Honourable Mda.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think the Honourable Kubai has made a suggestion that most probably is the best suggestion. If we want to take this further, is to take it to the Ethics Committee. The other committee that I'm not sure of, and maybe Gary can help us there, is the Power and Privileges Committee. That might be another option. A newly established committee, but as per the Act, and that might be the other option to take it. I do, however, also want to warn, because I listened carefully to what Honourable Kilian is saying. In the end, yes, he's correct, it's clumsy, but we also need to work with what we've got. we can't interpret on behalf of members who've presented legislation. And the fact of the matter is that legislation refers to political parties as well, and we can't change that. So I would suggest here that what I'm basically doing is seconding the Honourable Kubai's suggestion that we refer it to the ethics, but that we also consider maybe at the same time to send it through to the Powers and Privileges Committee.
Honourable Mdaka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was going to say, let's take the suggestion, Kubai's suggestion, Honourable Kubai, because Honourable Killian is a little bit confusing me, because she is separating the political office bearers from the political part. You never have political office bearers from outside the political parties. So she is really confusing me. I'm confused. So let's take the whip's suggestion. Thank you.
I'm sure what we'll do, we will then request the both the ethics committee and the privileges or whatever your powers and privileges, but I'm not sure if that is limited to the scope of the proposal, but let's look if there are still others, but I still believe that both the presidency and justice and development constitutional development may also have a say in this matter. Maybe let's extend it to them also. And then to allow them to look at it and make their input. Does it make sense? So thank you, Honourable Members. Then we'll leave it at that way to say we are still, you know, doing further consultation on this before we arrive at the determination. Okay? Thank you very much. May we then move to item 4 of the agenda. That is the minutes. If you were having same documents as mine, I'll then say this is almost the last page. The last part of your package. The minutes of the 31st of August. We're still regarding the MSF draft. Can we then go page by page? Page 1, which is not numbered. Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Levi.
Hey, let me do it.
For the last step. Yeah, mine is just a small one. My initials are not AM, they are MA. Thanks.
MA, not AM. That's incorrect. Who are you, by the way? By the way,
we may also recall that the person who was taking the minutes was the manager of the secretariat, and she may mess up things in terms of he might have messed up things in terms of name. Honourable Kumar.
No, mine is to correct that appearance of Mr. F instead of Miss. I'm Miss Sigile Kumar, not Miss.
And I think in this committee, I'm the only Mr. and the notorious second out. I am, let me say that. Page 2, if you have dealt with one. I'm not sure whether the language here on this paragraph above 2, which said he indicated that in the previous meeting mentioned was made. I'm not sure whether it's that English. If See, this thing of you see, if it was my language, I would have been then championing and saying, no, this is not. But English, I'm always wanted people to look at it. Honorable God.
Definitely, Chair, it's not the correct sentencing. We can request for it to be redrafted properly. He indicated that in the previous meeting, mention was made of a study tour. He indicated that in the previous meeting, there was discussion of, around study tour to be discussion took place for the study tour to take to be undertaken by the committee in 2012. The administrators were busy working on the matter.
Any on page 3? Honorable Mulibat.
First paragraph, second line. Where it says deferred, was deferred to the previous week.
You are right. I've also seen it, but what is this? Get it right. It should make sense when somebody picked the document and read it. Thank you, Honorable Mulibat. Page 4. Edit your own thing. You need somebody to do. Because Albert is the person who is responsible for editing their work. He was like, it's obvious what he's doing by himself. I'm sure you should have been even getting somebody to edit his work. Okay. Thank you very much. Any move for adoption? If Honorable Kubai is seconder. Honorable Mulibat. Any objection? I guess it will never be. thank you very much, and Honorable Kalia.
Sorry, Chairperson, you mentioned something that there was a written comment from the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration. Could we perhaps just have that?
I wanted to believe that circulated it within ourselves. It is the one that will deal with the public service when we determine, you know, the position on that.
Thank you.
Okay. So it's something that you should look at the input and then move forward. Thank you very much. I want to believe this brought us to the end of the business for today. Have a good day. Enjoy your further engagement.